The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
.906. We start this hour recapping what has and what more people are focusing on, what hasn't happened in Washington in the past several months. To do that, we are pleased to be joined live in the studio once again, and it's been a while, by 8th District Congressman Reid Ribble. Reid, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jerry. It's good to see you.
Yeah, good to have you in the studio. So Reid said, well, what are we going to talk about? And then we both got a chuckle. Well, yeah, you know, not much. It's been pretty quiet on the political scene, I say sarcastically. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to talk with Reid about 10, 15 minutes or so. Jason's going to go find Reid a pair of headphones. And then what we're going to do is Reid is here until 9:45, and we will take calls. But just, again, we're going to take about 10 minutes here. Reid and I are going to talk about various issues, get his thoughts. But then we will take calls till about 9:45, 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Even if you don't live in the 8th Congressional District, you have a real, live, breathing congressman here. If you, you know, talk about the polls and Congress's popularity. And I guess, actually, before we get to specific issues, let's start there. The Wall Street Journal NBC poll showing the president's approval ratings at an all-time low in that poll. And then in the same breath, well, Congress isn't doing much better. And the Wall Street Journal had – their pollster had an interesting point. It's gone from you don't feel our pain to you are causing our pain. Is all of Washington the problem?
Pretty much. I mean, I ran for Congress because Congress was causing the pain. I'm a little more cautious about being super critical because we have a bicameral system of government. And so Congress, when we talk about Congress in its broad strokes, you have to really break it down into what is the House working on and what have they done versus what are the Senate, what is the Senate working on and what have they done, because they're very, very different. And the rules of each of those chambers are different. The ability to move things forward are very different. And so, but I believe Congress has been a contribution to the pain that the American people have been feeling. It's why I ran in the first place, and why I've been working hard to see if I can alleviate the pain to the degree that it's possible for one person out of 535 to do so.
Well, okay, let's be specific. What pain do you think this dysfunctionality is causing the American? Are you government?
Yeah.
For the economy not coming around, and or is that, as I believe it is, that the administration and Harry Reid, you know, what? Be specific.
Okay, I'll be very specific. We can look at first of all from the administration viewpoint. You can look at the regulatory regime. The president has decided that he's going to govern with a pen and a phone. And basically what he's been doing is calling the folks over at the EPA, at the Department of Labor, at the National Labor Relations Board, and so on and so forth to govern via executive fiat. You have the U.S. Senate with Harry Reid basically stopping over 300 pieces of legislation that the House of Representatives have passed, with about 80% of those passing with some level of bipartisan support, and they've been freezing that. And then, quite frankly, you've got the House of Representatives, who I think has acted more responsibly than the other two, but hasn't really taken on the big challenges of the day and still is willing to kick the can down the road on big issues that are actually able to be solved if we would show a little more dent of will. And I'll give you just a brief example, or one example of that. A few weeks ago, and it was on a piece of legislation I ended up voting no on, the House of Representatives and then the Senate concurred and the president signed into law another kick the can down the road as it related to the Highway Trust Fund. Highway Trust Fund went insolvent in July. This project outside down the road here on Highway 41 would have come to a screeching halt because there wouldn't have been the funding to pay for it. And rather than actually living up to the fact that we have to fund infrastructure in this country, they decided to come up with a fake fix and tell the American people it was a real fix and get us to May of next year, where we create a whole new cliff. And so my frustration level is pretty high right now. And I think there's pox on all the houses, but I want to be fair in where it actually lies.
The big drama as you headed to recess was whether or not Congress would do something to deal with the humanitarian crisis on the border.
Yeah.
That did not happen. The Wall Street Journal was very critical of Republicans. The Wall Street Journal tends to be very moderate on immigration. I think they see it as immigration reform as a pro-business initiative, and they have been moderate to left of center, what is normally a very conservative editorial page on that particular issue. I think the humanitarian crisis has become somewhat conflated with the larger immigration issue in the debate, in my opinion.
Well, you're correct, but the administration wants to conflate it.
Exactly.
And those that really want to see something happen on immigration reform, it's to their benefit to conflate it, but they are really two different issues. What we have going on right now is a real problem that deserves real solutions. And those solutions start with a secure border, which is not a particularly difficult lift to get to if we could get some help from, A, the environmentalist movement and the Obama administration to secure the areas of the border that are unsecure. And then, B, have a foreign policy that actually is effective. Our foreign policy in Mexico has become just a tragedy for a lot of young people and children that are trying to immigrate because they believe that the President of the United States is going to grant them amnesty or asylum if they just get to the United States.
Let me just stop you there. I'm among those who believe that was the intent, and and I know this is very cynical on my part and the part of
Jerry
others.
Jerry Bader being cynical?
I know. Hard to believe, isn't it? But, I mean, I meant even for me.
Yes, even for
that,
you.
That even, well, you know, it's a cynical world. Even for me, perhaps, that he knew this, that false message was going to get out there and was trying to force your hand on a larger immigration bill.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And so we were unwilling to take the bait in regard to that. However, we do believe that what is going on in Texas and New Mexico predominantly with unaccompanied children has to be dealt with. I mean, there is a cost, not just to the United States, but there's a future cost to Honduras and Guatemala. Imagine any small nation sending its future out of its own country. How can those economies ever recover if the next generation is not there?
Yeah.
And so it's really important, as heartless as this may sound, it is important for the good of Central America and for the economy there that we stop this movement of children. But there's also another tragedy that doesn't get spoken about enough, and that is that a good percentage of minor females are being sexually assaulted on this journey to the U.S. Yeah. And the only way that you can prevent that and stop that is to immediately, and I would suggest on a last-in, first-out basis, begin to send those children home so that the message gets delivered clearly. You've got a problem with inside your government, and you've got to address it in Central America.
On one of the Sunday shows, as we talked with Congressman Reed Ribble, on one of the Sunday shows, I thought Newt Gingrich made a really good point. He said, look, there's 100 million people that want to come here from around the world. I mean,
yes.
Not just the Central America, there are 100 million people who would love to be able to just walk in, and that we've lost our bearings here when we don't understand, yes, these children are being exploited, I think in part by President Obama, using them as props and actually luring them here. But the compassionate thing to do is not to say, well, you can just walk across our border. That just is not. You're not a country anymore if you adopt that policy.
Yeah, and I would agree. The real compassionate thing to do is to secure the border and send these children home so that the message gets delivered in Guatemala and Honduras that it's not just a free entry point. The former speaker is correct in that there are hundreds of millions. In fact, this became a very heated conversation within the Republican conference as we tried to navigate getting a piece of legislation that, as in general, the whole conference could agree on. And I remember a week or so ago going before the conference and telling them something along these lines, and I can't give a direct quote because I was speaking extemporaneously as I spoke to the comments, but I said, we don't really have a crisis on the border, but we have a problem on the border that needs to be solved. An immigration crisis will emerge in this country when no one wants to come here. We have an economy and a spirit of freedom and liberty that the whole world is envious of, and they want to be here. And to really prevent a crisis, we need to preserve that.
One other question for me in this segment, then we're going to open up the phones in the next segment. Yesterday and today, the Wall Street Journal have articles concerning inversion, where companies are overseas takeover deals, so they can quite honestly lower their corporate taxes. It's a perfectly legal loophole that it's called. And Walgreens, even though they are doing a takeover, they're not going to use inversion, one, because they've just been shamed out of doing it. And the Obama administration essentially says, and that's where the Wall Street Journal has another piece in today's print edition, Obama's tax law rewrite. It's going to be a busy autumn of law writing for the Obama administration, they say sarcastically, but also truthfully. The president has said he plans to act unilaterally to reinterpret the immigration statutes. And now the Treasury Department says Secretary Jack Lew is looking for heretofore undiscovered legal ways to block overseas tax inversions. And basically what they say is that he's going to be a one-man ways means committee. They say this is just an absolute illegal, unilateral rewrite of the tax code. Yet it's the same Wall Street Journal that would criticize any conservative who uses the word impeachment. And I know you guys want to avoid this like the plague, and I get it. And I am not, no wait now, he's grinning over there. I'm not suggesting you start impeachment proceedings. That would be idiotic, and I do understand that. But this, well, this is illegal. This is a unilateral grab of power, but don't say a stupid word like impeachment. I mean, how can we have it both ways?
Well, we have to see if whether or not he actually does it. The president talks a lot about what he's going to do. Sometimes he does it, sometimes he doesn't. But here's the reality, which is typical of the left. And I'm going to go beyond President Obama to Senate and House Democrats on this particular issue. First of all, during the GM bailout, they had no problem with inversions and were using inversions to stabilize that company. But they've picked the wrong demon, as they often do. They want to demonize corporate America when they ought to demonize American government. The reason companies use inversions to become globally competitive is because our tax code is the real enemy, not anything else.
Yeah.
And so the president, if he really wants to get at inversions, ought to work with House Republicans on tax reform so that corporations in America don't feel they have to flee this country to be globally competitive. This is the problem.
And as you just said, this is a global competition now. And the rate is so much higher for them that's exactly right. All right, it's your turn. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. We'll come back about 9:25. We'll have about 5 minutes there, so don't screw around here. Well, about 5 minutes there, and from 9:35 to 9:45 is your window if you have questions for Congressman Ribble. 406-1360 in the Green Bay area. 888-455-1360. It's 920.
The Jerry Bader Show.